Warp Pipe Wednesday.
Cheers, Jay.
Cheers.
I got this, it's peace tea.
Peace tea.
So it's not Arizona tea, but it kind of looks like it, like peace.
Sweet.
Peace and love. Snowberry is the flavor I'm drinking.
What's a snowberry taste like?
It basically just tastes like berries. I think they're holding a lemon, like in the peace sign there, but it just tastes like a raspberry iced tea, I'd say.
Oh, okay.
Like
that, fair enough.
Similar to that. It's all right. I saw it at the gas station. I said, let me try it. I don't know.
Was it 99 cents?
I think it was $1.50. I think they were like 2 for $3 or something like that.
Arizona's are like usually like 99 cents. So that's
I don't know how they're still holding on to like the dollar. Like no inflation has not hit Arizona.
I don't know.
Them and Costco hot dogs.
That's it. Best meal in the market.
I guess so. Yeah. I will say when I work in the food court area at Costco, I did have hot dogs on my like break and stuff. But now that I'm in the bakery, I can't say I ever order the hot dog anymore. I'm always just usually getting a slice of pizza.
Healthy choices. I like it.
I feel like it goes down a little better. I feel like eating that hot dog, I'm just like, oh, I got to go back to work now.
Yeah, I can see that.
So
I usually just eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
I thought you were going to say peanut butter and jelly pizza.
you know, cowabunga, bro.
Cowabunga. I still got to see that Ninja Turtles movie. Did you see that with your son?
No, I didn't see it. I don't like the art style.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it does have an interesting
that guy.
Art style.
Back in my day, turtles looked cooler.
I mean, they went all in. I'll have to give them that of like the promotion of it. Like all like they had like food and stuff with it promoting.
Yeah.
New toys, like
yep.
Everything. So hopefully, I mean, it was like us growing up. When turtle mania hit, maybe for some kids these days, you know.
Dude, I wish my kid was into turtles. He could care less.
So he's just Pokemon,
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Right.
He's not even really into Mario
Minecraft
anymore.
A little bit.
And
yeah.
If I could get him to play the game, he might be into that, but
oh, okay.
Yeah, he hasn't really played that, so
fair enough.
He likes Kirby a lot though.
Oh, okay.
That game, The Forgotten Land.
Yeah.
He got into that. Yeah. He beat that.
Nice. I'm trying to beat some games I've been playing. I'm kind of bouncing around quite a few different games and systems.
Yeah.
Trying to get the backlog out. I've been still hacking away at God of War. I think I have 4 chapters left. So how many hours that is, I don't know. I think usually I could do a chapter within an hour, maybe less. I'm playing on the absolute easiest setting. It's like, just give me story. It's the name of the setting. So, and still some of the, you know, it's still a little challenging. It's not like a walk in the park.
Right.
I'm fine with that. And then I charged my 3DS system. So I'm playing Luigi's Mansion 2 on that slightly. So I've been popping that like in while I'm in bed. Trying to get a little bit further in that. And then I just came out with a video on my YouTube channel about Cathedral on the Switch.
That was an excellent video. And for anyone who hasn't seen it, I recommend watching it. That was a really fun video to watch. And it was, I don't want to give too much away. I don't know. Do you want to spoil it on here, Russ?
Yeah. I mean, I guess most people prior listening to the podcast probably seen the video.
Hopefully you didn't. Pause now. Spoiler alert.
But yeah, my intention was making this video because I was so frustrated with
frustrated.
Did I spell it wrong?
I don't know if you spelled it wrong, but you said fuss and it's frush.
Right. No, I spelled it right on my thumbnail.
Oh.
I'm just pronouncing it wrong. Frush. Is it tubaware or tubaware?
Tupperware.
Tupperware. Anyways.
like the grammar Nazi over here.
So I've been playing this game for a little bit. I got it, I think 2 years ago, I want to say. And I did a live stream of it. And then I kind of put it on the shelf and played a bunch of other stuff. And we were going on vacation. And I was like, you know what? Let me bring this game with me because it was kind of like Shovel Knight. I like the art style. It's like that 16-bit-ish retro graphics, and it plays similar Shovel Knight slash Metroid.
What I saw of you playing it, it reminded me of like a very modern take of Ghosts and Goblins.
Okay.
Because the way the character kind of had like the armor, even the way he died.
Right, where you almost
it reminded me of like Super Ghouls and Ghosts or whatever.
Right. The only difference would be this is more open world, so you can travel.
Yeah, maybe not as linear, but the character for sure.
Right. And essentially, you know, it ends up being a pretty difficult game, and I had gotten stuck in some bosses and then just kept trying and got past it. And I just got stuck at this one last boss, and I was putting like hours into trying to beat this boss. I was playing it while I was at Portland Retro Gaming Expo. We were at the hotel, and I'd play it, you know, when we come home. And I really wanted to beat this boss, and I couldn't. So I made this video of how frustrated it was. But then I went to capture gameplay footage so I could put over B-roll and end up beating the boss on the gameplay.
It did look very frustrating. Like, you would have to, like, jump and light all these lanterns. I wasn't exactly sure what the point of that was. And then you had to, like, repower up your sword, your gun, something.
Right, so the purpose
and
of
then,
you,
and
you
then,
light
like,
the lanterns.
It created, yeah. like, this border that when the dragon hit the border.
That's
it,
what the lanterns did, yeah.
It froze him so you could whack away on him.
Yeah, so you needed to shock him. By lighting the lanterns, he'd fly into the shocking like thing. Then he'd be laid out, and then you can take your gun out that shoots like little like boulders or whatever to try to break his mask that he's okay. wearing. He has this mask on there, but I can only get 7 shots off, and then you have to reload and then relight the lanterns all while he's chasing you around this damn area.
Didn't that dragon remind you of the messenger? The dragon off the messenger.
Oh yeah,
wasn't that very similar?
And again, I brought up in the video that, you know, it had similarities to the messenger, but I absolutely love the messenger. Like, it came out, I played it, got it digitally, it, beat it. I made my own case for it, and I had gone to PAX because the developers were going to be there, and I showed them the case, and they were like super excited, and they had their booth, and they gave me a free t-shirt and like a lei. Because they had new DLC that
you
was coming
laid,
out.
You got laid, Russ?
I got laid. But so they hooked it up because the new DLC was like Hawaiian themed or something like that.
Oh,
I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
Island
yeah.
themed. So that's why they had their whole setup was like a tiki house.
Okay.
And they were wearing leis. So they gave me a lei. And then when the game, I had them sign the case I made, like the plastic part.
Yeah.
So when the game physically came out, I just put the sleeve into that one. And so it's all,
I kind of regret not getting that physically. That was such a dope game.
Yeah. And you know, I had a real good time with it. And
at one point I got lost and I set it down for like a year.
Oh, that's tough to go back to.
And
like,
then I picked it back up and I got through it.
I don't know how.
I did, dude. I was so stoked when I finally beat it. I was like, thank you. Cause like, I loved the messenger. But once it kind of went Metroidvania and you kind of had to backtrack around to find some stuff, I kind of got lost.
And that was kind of interesting because you didn't almost know that playing the game, right? You're playing this game and then you get to a certain point because it's all, you're like, oh, okay, it's like Ninja Gaiden. And
yep.
then it opens up the whole world and you're like, now it's like open world and you have all these places to explore. Definitely
that,
cool.
That game was incredible though. They paid so much homage to so many retro video games. It was
absolutely
it was like drawn. It was perfect.
So that's that game, and then Cathedral, not so much. All right, I was getting frustrated with it, not having a fantastic time. I'm having an okay time with it, but I keep getting stuck at certain parts. But I played it a little bit last night, and I beat a side boss, and I went on to the main story, and I'm stuck at this new boss that again obstacles again I have to there the floor is made of electrical stuff, so I can't touch it. It's one hit deaths, and they're shooting these 4 beams at you, and you have to like jump over this and use your magnet power to pull. So it's like, why does it have to be like 10 different things going on? It can't just be fire. You shoot the boss and he's dead,
right? You know, gotta make it worth your while. So I haven't been playing many video games lately. I actually did pop in Super Castlevania 4 last night just to play something. And I played probably like 25, 30 minutes. I got to like the third or fourth level.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, I'm tired. I'm done. But I mean, I could beat that game at any moment.
Right.
I've done it like 1,000 times. But I just love the music so much.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's weird. I have nostalgia for Super Castlevania from like 10 years ago when I first got into retro video games.
Yeah.
But I'd never played it as a kid, so it's not like nostalgia as a kid. It's like when it was like getting back into gaming and being so excited about anything and everything Nintendo that I had seen. Like, I remember, like, I'd never played Kid Icarus before, and I was so excited to get Kid Icarus and, like, just different games on the NES and Super NES that I was like, oh, I never played this, or the Genesis. But so that it kind of gave me like nostalgia for then, which is interesting that that's something I can be nostalgic about now.
Right.
When I first started collecting.
Yeah, it kind of sparked that interest back into mm-hmm. there. I'm trying to think when that kind of happened for me, because I remember there was a point, I can't exactly remember, but something triggered like, hey, let me break out my NES and
yeah.
like, dive into these old games. Like, I still had it. I didn't get rid of it. So I was like,
oh, lucky you. Lucky you.
Let me pull these out and, you know, display. It probably was like watching videos on YouTube of other people, like either game hunting or discussing retro games. And I was like, oh, yeah, I got some. You know, I was probably at that time playing GameCube or Wii.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh, yeah, I do have the retro stuff.
Like, so, you know what happened to me like a year to 2 years before I got into retro gaming? Two things happened. And I'm embarrassed of both of them. So at one point, I was cleaning out this closet in my old house. My wife at that time was my girlfriend, moved in with me. And we were just like cleaning out this one closet. I was just trying to get rid of stuff, make some room. And I had an original Super Nintendo box copy of Stanley Cup.
Okay.
Brett Hull Hockey and NHL 93. And it was because it's just because my love for hockey. And I was like, I'm going to keep these boxes. That's cool. And they were my originals from when I bought them back in like the early 90s.
Yeah.
I took them to the recycling center and just threw them in the recycling bin. No, I know it's not like, thank God it wasn't like Chrono Trigger, Evo, and, you know, like something like that.
Something
like
super expensive. Yeah.
Like Devil's Crest or whatever. Demon's Crest.
Demon's Crest.
That.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything like that, but they were still mine and they meant something to me. And now I'm like, oh, I love video games. I want all this stuff. And I remembered throwing them away. That was one thing that happened.
Okay.
The other thing that happened was at one point, my mom had this like building that my grandfather had bought that he was going to use as like a little like how would you describe it? Like, I guess like, just like his living area, but like in my mom's side yard.
Okay.
And it basically had everything except the shower and a toilet, which she would come in my mom's house and use. But it was really nice. And my cousin lived there for a while. We ended up eventually using it for storage. And I stored a lot of my stuff there that wouldn't fit in my smaller house. And there was an NES console that I got from my girlfriend in 2003. And I remember seeing it in 2003. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. A Nintendo. I haven't seen one of those in. At that point, it's probably like 8 to 10 years, you know, which seemed like an eternity at that time. And so I got her old NES and I kept it forever and ever and ever. And then we were cleaning out this garage. It wasn't a garage, it was like this little building. And my friend TJ said, hey, what should we do with this? And I was like, man, that thing probably doesn't even work anymore. Just throw it away. And he threw it in this huge trash bag and we hauled it off to the trash dump. I threw it I'm sure it was fine because knowing what I know now, NESs are like army tanks.
Right, right.
And indestructible. I threw away a perfectly good NES and I wouldn't even have to look for one when I got back into it if I'd just kept it.
Right. I feel That's like a so lot embarrassing of times
that I did that.
It's definitely embarrassing.
NES had a threw away Nintendo.
When I worked at the retro video game store, Retro Games Plus, a lot of people would, you know, bring their consoles in to trade them in or whatever. And they're like, oh, I got this old NES, you know, it doesn't work. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, we can do some trick that we know.
Absolutely.
To kind of get it working.
Oh, yeah.
We would then replace the pins on the NES when we were going to sell them because you can buy new pins. But there's still ways to kind of refurbish the pins you had.
Yeah.
You can take it out.
I used to boil them.
Let's say boil them in water or whatever. Sometimes they get bent out. You can maybe bend the pins back so it's a tighter connection. But like you said, they don't make them like they do anymore.
No.
You know, they definitely still work, and very rarely do they completely crap the bed.
So in some landfill somewhere are some boxes I threw away and a Nintendo I threw away. And I'm so sad. The NES Act threw away Nintendo. Like, what's wrong with me?
Now, I wonder if did it
call
just
me
get
and
crushed?
Shame me. Call me and shame me.
You can call the podcast at our phone number, 949-682-9277. And I don't know, leave some comments about Jay throwing out an NES.
Shame me. Shame. Sorry, what were you saying, Russ? I'm so sorry.
I was going to say, I wonder if anyone else came across that. Like, is the stuff just immediately like compacted and smashed, or like,
no, hopefully not. Hopefully someone found it and said, some idiot threw this away.
Right.
And saved it.
Possibly. So yeah, maybe it still lives on somewhere else. Yeah. Cause a lot of times too, it'd say early on, you know, this sparks other memories of like going on Craigslist looking for deals and stuff. And some people would post like, NES, not sure if it works. And it'd be like, you know, $20
right,
some games or whatever. And I go there and it'd be like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, I'll check it out. And he's like, oh, I can't get it to work. And then I go home, put the game in, like jiggle it a little bit. Like, this works. Works fine.
Came right
on.
Just
don't know how to finesse it.
Yep. Yep. Gotta wiggle it just a little bit.
That's it. Just a little bit on there. I do have on mine, which I don't see anymore. I don't know. I don't really hear a lot of people talk about this, but I don't have a regular pin in my NES. I have, it's called the
blinking
no
light
blinking
win.
Light win.
Yeah.
So you insert the NES game and you don't push down.
Because
the way the pin is, I guess, shaped like a C.
Yeah.
Because it inserts to the regular part, goes up, and then comes out. And that's where you put your NES game in. So you're not pushing down. It was like on Kickstarter probably 10 years ago.
I remember it so well.
I thought it was neat. So I backed it. And I mean, it still works. It's in there. I haven't replaced it.
Do you remember when they came out with the top loader, Russ, back in the day?
Yeah, I do remember seeing it at like Toys R Us and kind of confused on what it was. Like, why does this exist? You know,
so the only thing I was stupid and I didn't realize that it fixed the problem with NES, making it a top loader. But I was like, oh, they're just trying to make it look like a Super Nintendo so people want to buy it.
I thought that as well, because it's the smoother edges, little sleeker design, and the dog bone controller kind of mimics
the Super NES controller.
Right. And
I don't know. Really, I think they were just trying to lower the cost, because it only had,
RF. Yeah, no AV inputs on that one.
Yeah, just the RF switch. And also fix the problem of it being a front loading now to a top loader.
Right. It probably was more geared towards, I guess, people that didn't have an NES. Maybe.
Yeah.
So upgrade.
Which would be hard to believe. I mean, because those probably came out in 95.
Right.
They were a couple years into the NES or Super NES when those popped out.
Right. Yeah.
But
so maybe that was like, okay, we can get the kids that maybe the parents are like, oh, I can't spend $200-something on a Super Nintendo, but do you want this?
Because I think at that point they were running about $50.
Oh, what?
Probably like $49.99 or something.
I mean, that's cost of a game.
It's a budget. Yeah. Pretty budget friendly.
$100, you get a brand new game and a brand new system.
Yep.
Rather than buying the Super Nintendo, which was probably like, I don't know. What, 160?
I would say at that point the Super NES was probably just like $99.99, because that was 95, so they had been out about 2-3 years. Because when I got mine in 92, it was $129.99, and the Genesis was $119, so it had already dropped a decent amount. And then at that point, I think it was like the NES for 50, Super NES was 100.
Gotcha.
I think that's correct.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
We'll go with it.
Russ is like, whatever you say, Jay. You're the gaming historian here.
Where's Norm?
Yeah.
What else we got here? Trying to think of anything else going on. I'm working on a few videos. I said I got that Blockbuster Video Challenge video went up as well. If you guys haven't checked that out, I competed in the Blockbuster World Championship out in Portland.
Oh, I haven't watched that one yet.
Yeah, so that one's up. I'm working on a video when I was also in Portland and they had the Nintendo Power Museum display.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be cool.
So I got to do a couple voiceover work on that. But basically, this one person has a collection of pieces from Nintendo Power where, like, he has the shoes from the track and field cover mm-hmm. that they made when they shot the cover. He has the ship from Mega Man 2 that Dr. Wily's in that's yep. like clay. Some really cool pieces that you're like, how do these even survive after the photo shoot? Like, where do they end up?
Hopefully somebody just like said, let's take these, you know?
Right.
It's amazing stuff that's still around from back then, you know? Even like the sun behind me, like that's so awesome. Somebody kept it. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So much signage out there that yeah. people still end up finding. And it's like, you know, these stores could have easily just thrown this into the garbage. I'm sure they were directed to.
Well, I mean, even when I got my Wii U kiosk, when I went to go ask for it, that they had already smashed the television because they said Nintendo had told them to destroy it. If I worked for a GameStop, I would definitely not destroy it. I would either A, keep it, or B, give it to somebody who really wanted it. I wouldn't listen to you, Nintendo. I'm a rebel. Do what I want.
Like, are they, you know, like, yeah, they're like destroy.
They're not
they
coming to look and see if you did it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do they need picture confirmation that you destroyed it? Or like,
it's like, just get rid of it. That's the case you Google a broken television.
Right. Just send that. Send them that yeah, picture.
Exactly. There you go. I did it.
Fair enough.
Hey, Russ, a good friend of ours is getting really close to that magical number of 100,000 subs.
Oh, is that so?
Yes. So I want to help make a push to get them there.
Okay.
Our good buddy, yours and mine, Chris, NES Complex, 99,800 subs. He just released a sweet new Zelda Secrets Codes and Intel Zelda 2, the Adventure of Link.
Yeah.
Go watch that if you haven't already and subscribe to NES Complex because I think that'd be super cool to see him hit 100K, especially after as long as this guy's been in the game.
Yeah, he's been in there.
I mean, he's like you forever, a lifer.
The OG.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the this one here and I ended up streaming Zelda 2, I think because I had watched the video he put out.
Yep.
I kind of got inspired. But yeah, so many good series he has on here.
Yeah. Let's get Chris a play button and then let's get Russ one. And then if you're feeling really good, go get me one. Just kidding.
Yeah, we're definitely close there. I think I'm at 54,000.
Heck yeah, dude.
So I think next year we should be able to hit it.
You have a lot better chance than I do. I'm like not even at 8K.
Well, I mean, it's all because of the shorts. I think 35,000. Gotta love the shorts. So I've been trying to put out, you know, three shorts a week. Keep it going and see if some hit, and then get my full content, full edited videos out as well. Plus live streaming once a week.
Yeah, me too. I'm doing all those things. No, I'm not.
In your mind.
Lazy.
Send me your footage. I'll edit it.
No. It's all good. I've given up on the dream. I'm just happy to be here with you, Russ.
That's it. You can catch us every week. Saturdays at 7 a.m. and Warp Pipe Wednesdays. On Wednesdays at 7 a.m. We've been pretty consistent.
I mean, you're dang right we have.
Haven't missed a week, and we're going strong. Hoping more people discover the podcast. I'm doing my best to try to do like short videos as well to post those up on like TikTok and even on the YouTube channel to do shorts on the Weekly Warpipe YouTube channel. So maybe people would see it and be like, oh, okay, let me check out this podcast.
A more handsome co-host might help you.
But if I had some better pictures of my co-hosts.
Sorry.
that I could post promo stuff.
All right. This weekend,
I'll take some freaking promo photos.
I got to do it. I got to.
Quick shout out to our Patreons. We got Dan and Nicole's Treasures Untold, Joe Sheevy, Trace Living Good, Samantha Chang, Rodney Torres, and Retroholics 16 for coming in clutch. Hey, shout out to Retroholics 16. Dude, was live streaming.
I caught this. I saw this happen.
Donated $99.99 towards my Blink ticket, he said.
What a baller.
I was like, well, I'm going to have to get me a t-shirt, one of the concert t-shirts.
Hey, buy me one too. Just kidding.
Well, they're probably $50, right?
I mean, yeah, they're going to be crazy. I won't even buy one.
But I'm super excited. So thank you so much for supporting me there. If you guys want to support the podcast, you can do $1 a month. It's a little one there and it goes towards, you know, doing the fees and all this stuff.
You know what would also be great?
Yeah.
Get on whatever you listen to our podcast on.
Yeah.
Give us that 5-star review.
That's true. I feel
that's what's going to keep this going.
That probably helps push it out to other, you know, people's feeds.
Yeah.
When you're browsing podcasts and it's like, oh, you may like this podcast as well, since this got a few reviews. So
tell them how sultry our voices are, how beautiful our faces are, and how incredibly great our content is.
I dig it. All facts. Sweet, guys. Well, we appreciate you hanging out, listening to us, watching us, and supporting us as always. I'm Russ Lyman, and keep your world fun bit by bit.